Hi, I'm Aaron Mee, inviting you to tune in for Community Matters on Sunday morning starting at 8:30, brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services. Join us as we talk through issues that matter most to you right here in Warren. 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services on the Greatest Hits 92 Gold.
This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Thank you for joining me for the Community Matters program on 104.3 Kinzu Country and 92 Gold. And joining me on the Community Matters program are...
Brian Eckenrode.
And Brenda Schnick.
And you two are from the Warren Philharmonic Orchestra, and we are here to be talking about your upcoming spring concert, and we're going to be talking about your upcoming season. There's a lot of really exciting things that are happening that you guys are involved with, and you guys have put a lot of work into this upcoming program, and I'm really excited to be able to learn about what you guys have in store for it.
Yeah, so our concert is on March 20th at 4 p.m. at Holy Redeemer Church. And it is with the Warren Philharmonic, and we'll be performing three pieces, only three pieces. It sounds like a short program, but it's really not. There is no intermission. We're going to start off with Edward Elgar's Nimrod. Now, you know, people say Nimrod. That's, you know, like when somebody calls somebody a Nimrod, that's like a sort of a condescending remark. But actually, the word Nimrod comes out of the Bible. And it means, and it was written, it's actually the ninth variation of the Enigma Variations, written in 1898 by English composer Elgar. And these pieces were, the variations were written for his friends. And Nimrod comes from his friend Yargar, which is comes from the German word meaning hunter. But this is a standalone. It's the ninth variation in the Enigma Variations. And Nimrod basically can stand alone as a standalone piece. We hear it a lot in ceremonies, like the opening of the Olympics and things like that. And you hear it in funerals. You hear it in weddings. And it's a tearjerker kind of piece. And the reason we picked Nimrod is because we lost one of our first violinists this past season. And he's been playing in the orchestra for many, many years.
Lou Nicolia, yeah. And he contracted COVID a couple weeks prior to our last concert. In fact, he called me like a week and a half before the concert, and he says, I'm sick and I can't play, and can you find somebody? And gave me some names, and that was the last time we talked to him. And the next time...
we heard he passed away.
Yeah, 3 weeks later.
Wow. So we're dedicating this concert to Lou. And he's been with the Erie Philharmonic for over 40 years, I think it was. And when I started conducting this group, we started inviting friends of mine to play along with the Warren Phil, and Lou was one of those people. And so Lou's been with us for...
at least 8 years.
Yeah,
he was one of the first people that was a regular person to play with us on the day of the concert. And, you know, he was a really great violinist and really soft-spoken, nice person, really...
And if anybody's been to our concerts, you would recognize him. He was the guy with the long white hair and the long white beard. He was very distinctive-looking and distinct-looking. I mean, he was such a sweetheart of a man. And, you know, he came and played our summer concerts. You know, anytime we needed him, he was there. So that's our first piece on the program. Our second piece on the program is Mendelssohn's Third Symphony in A minor. It's called Scottish. The Scottish Symphony. It's four movements. It's quite a long piece, an incredible, an interesting piece. Mendelssohn, at the age of 20, went to the British Isles and fell in love with Scotland. He actually wrote his Hebrides overture there. And he started the symphony in, I think, 1829, and worked on it for many, many years, and finally finished it. But loved the landscape of Scotland, we talked it the other day. Brendan and I talked about this piece the other day. It's very pictorial, you know. It is like the Hebrides is that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's music about, you know, the caves and the water and the waves and things like that in storm. And this piece also has that in it too. It has a very pictorial thing. Mendelssohn came. His upbringing was very. He was sort of a silver spoon kind of a kid, you know. He was never, you know, like many composers of the Romantic period, Mendelssohn was very fortunate to have well-off parents. I think he was brought up Jewish, and then they converted to Christianity later. So he was very fortunate that he could travel and experience the world and things like that. So he really loved Edinburgh and Glasgow, and so he wrote this third symphony. But there's a slow movement. The third movement is a slow movement, which is just absolutely gorgeous. Because of Mendelssohn, he was an interesting character. He rediscovered the music of Bach. Up until that time, the Bach was basically collecting dust on a shelf. And Mendelssohn found the music of Bach and thought it was ingenious and thought Bach was brilliant. And in those days, no one really knew of the music of Bach. And Mendelssohn sort of recreated, this love for Bach. And to this day, I play Bach suites every day. My turtle's named Bach, So you'll hear the full symphony. And it's with full winds and brass. There's no trombones and there's no tuba or anything like that in the orchestra, but there are French horns and trumpets. Big timpani part, and lots of string writing, wind writing too, great wind writing.
Really difficult wind writing.
Yeah, but our winds are, they love it, It gives them a challenge and they're up for it.
So when you're looking at the winds and stuff like that and some of these other different instruments, which piece or which part that instrument plays do you think is the most difficult? Like, which instrument do you think is going to have the most difficult part in this piece?
I think it's sort of spread around. I don't think that one in particular instrument has a difficult part. But I must say that some of our winds are incredible players. And we actually, our principal oboe comes from Baltimore, Maryland.
Wow.
So that's quite a, it's not right around the corner kind of, but he loves playing with this orchestra. He's played with this orchestra for many years. He's off at graduate school at Peabody. And he comes back and he plays our concerts. So just,
And he's bringing two other people with him to play with us. So they're carpooling up, and then they're a violist and a French horn player. So,
wow.
And Mateo, if you go on his Facebook page, he's got, principal oboe, Warren Philharmonic. That's like his tagline. So it's really great because he's played with us probably 6 years now.
Right, and I've known Mateo for many years. I'm the personnel manager of the group called the Western New York Chamber Orchestra, and Mateo's played with that group quite a bit, and so that's how I met him. And then I invited him to come down to Warren to play with us, and he fell in love with the group. It was that's pretty cool when that happens,
And his best friend just happens to be an oboe player who lives in the area, so she's joining us again.
Yeah, she's teaching actually in Buffalo. And I think she's living in Dunkirk and teaching in Buffalo. So that's quite a commute. And then she likes to come and play with us. So Maggie Maxwell, yeah, mm-hmm. She's a great oboe player as well. So we have an incredible wind section to her. And,
the bassoons are amazing.
I have great bassoon players, so very fortunate,
So what was that like building up? The last few times we've talked, you guys kind of had to be limited in the wind instruments that were allowed to be involved with that. Now, this seems like, you guys are allowed to be, involving them to a full extent now. Now it's time to take advantage of what's available with it. How do you think that involves with it?
I think that people are getting past the fear. I think that's important. I just did a concert last week and with the Amherst Symphony. Full winds, full brass. No one was masked. And we were not 6 feet apart from each other. We played as a full orchestra. And the audience of about 400 people were there, unmasked, fearless. And so I think it's turning towards somewhat of normalcy now. So that's good to see, and good to hear. And people are, it's not like we're letting our guard down. We're still, but we're getting past that. And as musicians, we're not going to let this destroy our lives. So we need to create music. We need to make music for the community. So that's why we're here.
Absolutely. Well, that makes sense. Now, when you're looking at that, and we had talked a little bit about the possibility that you had worried about originally with there being a possible skill gap of people taking a break and stuff like that, was that something that you had to worry about at all with this getting into it, or was that...
You know, that's...
I know you talked about the difficulty changing around with this a little bit, so, you know...
Well, you know, it's interesting because I talked to a lot of my musician friends. And there are some people that said, oh, when COVID happened, I put away my violin and I didn't open the case for, you know, a year. I was like, you're a musician. How can you do that? I mean, why would you do that? It's like, when this happened and the lockdown happened and people were like, don't go out of your house. I felt it was an opportunity to stay home and practice and play music and but there are people that took a break, and I don't get it. That's my life. And now we're getting back into it.
Mm-hmm. And then we didn't really take a break.
And we didn't.
We just kind of changed, evolved. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened from that is that the string players actually got, because we played together for like basically three concerts with no wins.
Right.
I mean, we're playing better. I mean, some of the people who are in our second violin section have come a long way with their playing. Mm-hmm. They're quite fearless. And
their confidence.
It's amazing.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one cool thing about this orchestra, the Warren Philharmonic. We didn't take a break. I conduct the Amherst Symphony in Amherst, New York, and they did take a break. They took a break for their two seasons were gone. And so I thought this was a great, opportunity to actually hone our strings. And we played some really incredible repertoire. And,
Yeah, and like last night, the cellos have this incredible solo. It's in the slow one, right?
In the slow movement.
In the Andante. And I'm like, you three guys are sounding really good tonight, I mean, they were hitting, like you said, the money note.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, but that was really nice because we actually got to learn to play better together. And then we incorporated the colors from the winds, and we incorporated the winds into the section as well.
And the people that came back afterwards when we incorporated the winds, oh, my God, they were so happy to be playing again.
Mm-hmm.
When you looked at, Joshua, right? That's his name. Just having a great time whipping on that bassoon part last night.
Yeah, and then so the Scottish Symphony will be the main piece in the program, and then we're ending with oh, sorry, that was my phone. We're ending with the Offenbach, the Can-Can from Orpheus in the Underworld. Just so people will walk out with a tune in their head, because I mean the Scotch Symphony is quite long, but I want the audience to leave with singing something in their head, get an ear, what is it called, an earworm there.
That makes sense. So one thing that I'm curious about with that is when you're looking at that Scottish Symphony that's going to be the middle piece there, how many movements are in that piece?
There are four movements. Yeah, and they're very different. You have to remember that the music of Mendelssohn is, I always thought of it when I was going through music school, as elfin-like. Very happy, very jolly. Even his dark moments. I mean, this is a symphony in A minor. A symphony in a minor key tends to be sort of on the dark side. This is not a dark symphony. This is a very joyous and happy work. Even its most stormy moments, it's quite, it means...
Lakeshore Community Services has a number you're going to love. $2,000. That's our current sign-on bonus amount. And start at $1,560 an hour. We offer a 403B, great benefits, and have 36 years of serving people with disabilities in Erie, Warren, Ridgeway, and Kane. Apply right now at lakeshorecs.org. That's lakeshorecs.org. 2,000 more reasons for us to say you're going to love it at Lakeshore Community Services.
Community Matters on 92 Gold.
The writing is just...
It's almost like it starts out kind of like a tone poem and kind of sucks you in, and then it turns into you feel a little bit of the Scottish influence, and then when you get to the Andante, it's kind of like, oh, this is a different influence, and then it kind of comes back in the fourth movement, which is a really kind of jiggy be a good way to say it. So it's wow. It's interesting. It's a very interesting listen, I think. It's not like sometimes if you go to the symphony, you're like, ugh, you know. This is like you're just going to get wrapped up in it, and then you're going to be like, oh, it's over now? Really?
Yeah, our last concert we did the Bizet Symphony in C major, considered his only symphony. That was quite a treacherous work, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that one. I mean, yeah. This one has some treacherous parts. Like I've got a couple like half pages circled, and my part is like 14 pages long. For that.
Oh wow! Yeah, see, that's the other question that I was curious about. You know, when you're looking at something that's this long. That's a lot to prepare for, especially for anybody. And now you're dealing with four movements. How long is the entire piece there, like, as far as, like, an estimated time on it?
I don't know. Yeah, half hour.
Half an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about a half hour worth of music.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot to memorize like that. That's
well, we don't memorize but that's, yeah. But it's a lot to, you know, take in, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but...
Yeah.
It's such a nice work and very refreshing work. I just started, you know, with this group. I've been with this group, I don't know, how many years now?
But like, it's 11 or 12.
Oh, really? I started when I was four.
Yes.
And, but over the last course, I decided to do full symphonies, full works. We never did that before.
No. And when we had another conductor prior to Brian, we did that, but we weren't as good a players, so it didn't come off the same way. And I really felt like when we played that concert in November, well, first of all, it was packed. It was like the church was full,
mm-hmm.
and the audience really, really enjoyed it. I think they really enjoyed having a full symphony, and I think it's a really interesting challenge. And it's good that you only have to concentrate basically on one major work. Because the ones at the beginning and the end are not as complicated as the
whole
piece.
Right. Mm. That's really the showpiece, the showcase of the whole work, of the whole concert.
So, like, with what you guys are working on then, the first piece and the last piece are more of to... Like, the first piece is more of to get you into it, and then... The middle piece is going to be really it's a good opportunity to highlight the really good abilities that everyone's got throughout all the different areas, and then the last piece is a good way to wrap it up.
Oh yeah, the last piece is a happy piece. It's like sending people off to, you know, to the can-can. You know, it's like I remember we did the can-can.
Mm-hmm.
One of my first concerts, we did the entire. Overture to Orpheus in the Underworld, and we had can-can dancers from the Chautauqua Regional Youth Ballet come and dance the can-can. But you know, in those days, I really hadn't worked with dancers, and I could look back on the videos of this concert and laugh hysterically at them because I almost killed these dancers. My tempo was so fast, and with dancers, the tempo has to be the same throughout their rehearsal, throughout their performance, throughout everything has to be exactly the same for dancers, and. You know, I was not a dancer. I didn't really care. And so I took this at lightning speed. And by the end of the can-can, the dancers were actually on the floor. They actually fell on the floor. Oh, and I thought, and the audience thought I was part of the act, you know, because they thought it was really funny because I almost killed these dancers by playing too fast of a tempo. And they actually couldn't keep up. And these were great dancers. These were pre-pro dancers. But I just remember turning around and they're like, they're on the floor. Like, I don't think you're supposed to be on the floor, but
oh, that's awesome. See, and that's something where it's a really fun piece of music, probably to both be able to play and to be able to listen to. Is fun to play because know sometimes when you're doing that stuff, you get into a really good beat and a nice rhythm, and it's enjoyable.
Yeah, we talked about it last night at rehearsal about mm-hmm. not about tempos. You know, like I used to play in an orchestra where there was a conductor who you'd rehearse the piece and rehearse the piece and rehearse the piece, and you got to the performance and the tempo was completely different, and they're like, yeah, like you. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, maybe that's where I got it from, is, you know, working with this conductor who's always changing the tempo. But I try to keep it as consistent as possible, you know, and the older that I get and the more experience I have conducting, the, you know, getting pretty good at keeping my tempos under control.
And you know, that's one of the things that is probably has been a little bit different is, you know, when you go from being in front of just a smaller group with what had been happening to getting bigger and bigger to a full symphony, you know. And obviously you with the Amherst Symphony, you're used to being with a large symphony like that. It's got to be a little bit weird switching around like the sizes like that. Is it hard to...
Not really, no. But it's when you have a large orchestra, it's incredible. The power is just overwhelming, you know, to stand up in front of a group of 60 players and get the sound, you know. It's like, yeah, it's pretty overwhelming at times, but, you know, quite
so
cool.
You know, with that being said, I'm really excited to be able to talk just briefly about what are some of the big instrumental highlights that you guys at the Warren Philharmonic are going to be able to pull out of this. What do you think are going to be the instruments that are going to get the biggest highlights out of this program?
This concert, this coming concert?
Yeah.
I think they're all sort of equal in a way. I mean, there's some incredible timpani parts in the symphony. There's also the violin parts. But the symphony opens up with this lovely line by the violas. Now, you know, you don't think of like violas as having, you know, but it's such a dark sound and such a beautiful sound. And of course, they're, you know, how Mendelssohn paired up the violas with the clarinet is just really beautiful. Like Brahms used to do that too. He always matched the violas with the clarinets, and it gives it, you know, they're sort of the same kind of voice in a different family. And so the tone color is just absolutely gorgeous. So I don't know, there's every movement is different. You know, like Brenda said, in the slow movement, the cellos take over this incredible line, and then eventually the first violins join them and are playing in octaves. So I think every instrument gets to be showcased in the symphony, which is really nice. You know, but we have other concerts coming up. We have a Mother's Day concert coming up in May.
May 8th. Right.
We're doing some Tchaikovsky on that program, which will be another luscious kind of. And then we're planning a concert in the street.
Right.
Knock on wood.
Right.
You know,
I'm gonna work with the city and do the pyramids again because that was what we normally did. And hopefully, if the summer music school is going non-virtual, like we hope is going to happen, then they will join us out in the street. And then that has always been such a great thing because it's free. You bring your lawn chair. We play things that are very accessible. We get to play with the kids. And
I may have some special guests coming for that summer concert too.
Who is that?
Jugglers.
Oh, we're having the Jugglers because we had to cancel the Jugglers.
Yeah,
yes.
Wow.
Yes. That I talked to the Juggler on the phone.
Oh, did you?
Times. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I had this all planned, and then COVID happened, and then I was like, darn, what, you know? But yeah, it's a father and son team. And they're incredible jugglers, and they can juggle anything. And I actually approached them a little while ago, and I said, hey, how about juggling a couple violins? Huh?
Oh.
And they're like, oh, I don't know about that, but you might be surprised.
That would be pretty
I mean,
neat.
They're not going to throw strads in the air or anything, but, you know.
but hey, that'd still be pretty cool. So, you know, with that being said, I'm excited to kind of highlight one more thing, and that is the fact that your guys' upcoming concert is happening March 20th, and that's 4 p.m. at the Holy Redeemer Church. Now, with that being said, I'm curious, are you guys going to be doing anything virtually after the fact, like had been previously done, or is this?
I think we do film it.
We're gonna do the same thing. We're gonna broadcast it live on YouTube, and then it'll be on there afterwards. And we have the same two people that are helping us are gonna do that. It's nice to keep a record of what you're doing because, you know, when you're applying for grants and different things, you know, you can just give them the link on YouTube if you want to see what we're doing, you know, or what we've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Check
it out. And I'm hoping, you know, last concert, I didn't know what to expect because it was still a little tenuous about who was feeling like they wanted to be in public, right?
Yeah.
And there was a full audience, so I'm hoping the same thing again, and that maybe they just go back to watch the concert later, because when you see it, when you do it in person and when you play in person in front of a real audience, it just changes the whole energy level, and it's just so much more than than just watching it on a screen, right?
Yeah, like, so you hear it, and that's the thing, because I know I've played saxophone in the past, and...
We won't hold that against you.
Hey, that's fair. Now, the one thing that I wanted to mention with that is, you know, you listen through speakers, and it sounds one way, but, you know, you guys are completely right. When you're in the room, it's a different kind of volume, and it's a different kind of fullness that music gives you that you really can't get through the speakers of a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is great to be able to listen back and be able to listen to it, but being there in person really is a great experience.
Yeah, one of the biggest things is just like when the timpani will hit a note and it just boom, you know?
Parts your hair.
Yeah, it parts your hair, exactly. It's, yeah. It just isn't the same.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
there's nothing like live music. I mean, that's... So we're so happy to, you know, provide that to the community. And such a great community that we have here. And yeah. So supportive of this orchestra.
The donations have just continued to come. And, you know, it's just such a great thing that we're able to be, like, back together and give back. Like, I just felt so good about the November concert because we needed our audience back and they needed us. And I especially when Chris sang that You'll Never Walk Alone.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people in the audience who had tears in their eyes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It was very moving.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a tearjerker piece, like the Nimrod. Actually.
Yeah, Nimrod is a very tearjerker piece.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be a really great opportunity, then. It's going to be a really wonderful concert. It sounds like it's going to be really beautiful, and it's going to be... It's really unique because you guys have, you know, a good variety of pieces there where it's something that everyone's going to know by the end, and... You know, it's a really moving piece in the beginning to middle part, and it sounds like it's going to be really a good opportunity and a good show.
It's always a good show.
Well, of course, obviously. With the Warren Philharmonic, it's always a good show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd like to produce a good product. And that's when I first took this job, I thought, how am I going to boost this group, you know? And we have come such a long way.
And that's one of the things, you know, is that we live a really small community, right? So we need to draw from people that are 50 miles away, 100 miles mm-hmm. away to come in and help us on the day of the concert because there are not that many violin players who live in Warren, right? Mm-hmm. But once people come and play with us from outside the area, they tend to want to come back because we're a very nice group. You know, we're fun, and the audience is fun.
And we play good music.
Good and interesting music.
Right. And programming is important. I mean, you know, there are groups that I play with, and it's like the conductor will program the same thing year after year. It's like, how many times can you do this particular piece? And I don't think we've repeated too much of anything that I've, you know, once I started with this group. So
anything we've repeated was like 10 years old.
Yeah.
And the audience has completely changed in 10 years so that they never heard it before. For the first time, and we played it so much better the second time. To be fair.
I gotta say, if it's being repeated, it's usually a great piece.
Yeah, usually, right.
I mean,
it's worth hearing again. Right, yeah. For sure, that's true.
So, you know, with that being said, it sounds like it's going to be a really great time. And, you know, I just want to remind anyone that's listening, that is March 20th, 4 p.m. at the Holy Redeemer Church. That is the Warren Philharmonic Orchestra. And if you want more information, you can check out their Facebook page, right?
Yep.
And if, you know, if there are people listening that, like, want to join a little community orchestra, you know, get in touch with Brenda.
Yeah, get in touch with us on Facebook.
You know, if there's players out there that are interested in playing, we'd love to have you, you know. And so we work with very many different levels of skill.
And you guys are open, accepting, and if anyone is interested in getting involved, you guys are available to be able to, you know, take on a bunch of different instruments, right? I mean, you guys are taking all instruments.
Maybe not the saxophone, though. Unless we're playing Mussorgsky or something like that, right?
Yeah. You know? We're always looking for string players. Yeah. Always.
Always, yeah. We can always use strings, for sure.
Really? All right. Well, guys, thank you for taking the time to be able to go through this.
You're more than welcome.
I'm glad that we could be able to highlight this.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click Contact.
Hi, I'm Aaron Mee, and I'm inviting you to tune in to Community Matters Sunday morning starting 8:30 a.m. brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services. Join us as we talk through the issues that matter to you right here in Warren at 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services on Warren's Country Station, 1043 Kinzu Country.
Lakeshore Community Services has a number you're going to love, $2,000. That's our current sign-on bonus amount and start at $1,560 an hour. We offer a 403B, great benefits, and have 36 years of serving people with disabilities in Erie, Warren, Ridgeway, and Kane. Apply right now at lakeshorecs.org. That's lakeshorecs.org. 2,000 more reasons for us to say you're going to love it at Lakeshore Community Services.